Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to check us out on TV. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville, Eric Bickle, and Jason Bishop. That is the foursome. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's our pal, Dave Richard, fantasy football guru for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Hey, Dave.
What's up, JP? What's up, everybody? How you doing?
Buddy.
I got a call from Mike McCarthy before I came on. He was wondering if any of you guys knew how to block. He's looking for block. He needs somebody to block the doorway to Chase Young's house so he doesn't get out on Sunday right. And run wild on Andy Dalton.
Do you like Washington or Dallas on Sunday?
I like Washington.
Nice.
It is not a pick I made very easily, but I don't see how the Cowboys can bounce back with that offensive line. I really think the game is going to be won and lost based on Ron Rivera just dialing up blitz after blitz after blitz. I wouldn't blame him one bit for doing it either.
Hey, Dave, though, I was looking at your rankings on CBS, and I couldn't believe what I was about to do, given the fact that they give up 36 points per game. But I picked up the Dallas Cowboys defense for fantasy purposes.
I understand. Yeah,
idiotic, you know, or smart?
It's kind of moronic, but I mean, you're playing on Kyle Murray. You wish you had Kyle Murray. Kyle Allen,
right.
having a typical game for him, which usually involves a couple of turnovers. It's not like that offensive line for Washington is dominating by any stretch. But we haven't seen the Cowboys pass rush play great. They've certainly got the players to do it. Alden Smith has played well, and Lawrence certainly has been somebody that's had a great track record, but they just haven't been bringing the heat. And I wonder if the complaints that we read about, you know, those anonymous complaints about, you know, the losing the locker room came from the defensive side of the football and not the offensive side of the football. And maybe that side got neglected a little bit through all this hoopla, especially with Dak the last couple of weeks going on the shelf. And the defense really has not played well all year. I would imagine that there will be busts in coverage that Kyle Allen and company can take advantage of. That's why Terry McLaurin has to continue to stay in lineups. And it's also why I think J.D. McKissick is a good start this week, especially in PPR leagues. I like the way that he's been playing the last couple of weeks, and I think he can exploit the Cowboys' defense on the edges. So I don't know if the Cowboys' defense is really that good of a play after all.
Dave, who do I sit of these four to get Scary Terry into my lineup? Do I sit Fuller, Galladay, Ridley, or Claypool?
You could sit Claypool. You know, the one thing about the Steelers, A, they're going up against Tennessee. I don't know how good their defense is, to be honest with you, but they are getting Deontay Johnson back this week.
Right.
And what I am concerned about with Claypool moving forward, because he's been so awesome the last 2 weeks, and Juju's done nothing, eventually defenses are going to say, all right, rule number one when you play the Steelers, take away Chase Claypool, you know, take down Mapletron.
Right.
And that'll open things up for Deontay Johnson and Juju. I have no doubt that Roethlisberger, A, wants to spread the ball around, B, wants to get Juju and Deontay Johnson involved. He was throwing deep to James Washington last week, for crying out loud. So I think that there are definitely going to be opportunities for both of those other receivers to do well. When they do, it's probably going to be bad for Chase Claypool. And you don't want to sit a guy who has scored four touchdowns and might do it again at any time. But I think this is a week to go ahead and give that a shot. McLaurin, I really like the outlook for him against Dallas.
DeAndre Swift, Boston Scott.
I'm going to go with Swift over Scott. It's kind of a leap of faith type deal with Swift to even like him at all. I know last week was great, but dude, he did it against the Jaguars. I mean, that's not a great defense.
Right, right.
And he didn't even play 40% of the snaps. He did have a big chunk of the touch share between the other running backs. He had almost 50% of that. But again, it's almost 50%. It's not like 60%. So he's not going to be the feature back for the Lions anytime soon. That's how the Lions have operated. They've wanted to use different backs. And even the offensive coordinator said this week that he wants Adrian Peterson to start. He wants Kerryon Johnson to have a role. So they're not going to anoint DeAndre Swift anytime soon. But if they're not total morons, they will find a way to use him in a matchup that A, should be high scoring, and B, against a defense that really hasn't been that good against running backs, especially running backs catching passes out of the backfield, in the Atlanta Falcons. So I am a little more confident in Swift coming through than Boston Scott, who, I mean, it feels like every time we have to go and pick up an Eagles running back off the waiver wire to start in fantasy because of an injury, it's the wrong Eagles running back that we start. And so I'm nervous that Boston Scott won't come through for a big game. He might score, but even in week one, we thought that Boston Scott would be awesome. Remember, they took on Washington, and he only had 11 touches in the game. He didn't even play 60% of the snaps. So I'm a little nervous to trust him as anything more than a flex this week, not a top 24 type of running back in my eyes.
But Fulgham's still a good start tonight, correct?
Fulgham is still a good start. He's a number two receiver, certainly in PPR more so than non-PPR. I mean, look, they're running out of guys for Carson Wentz to throw to, and Wentz is literally just throwing up, you know, prayers to Fulgham, and he's coming down with them.
All right, last question. I got to sit one of these four receivers: Tyreek, Devontae, Galladay, Robbie Anderson.
Wow. And is it PPR or not?
Yes.
How do you sit Robbie Anderson?
I know.
You know,
it's tough.
It's tough to do, but you've got such great receivers. I think that's the choice that you've got to make. It's either him or it's Tyreek. And I know that sounds crazy, but Tyreek Hill has only gotten a limited amount of targets each week.
Right.
He's probably got a little more upside in half PPR or non-PPR. But Robbie Anderson's a big part of what they do in Carolina. I know last week didn't give you exactly what you wanted, but they're going to have to keep throwing against the Saints. So if you wanted to be bold, Lurch, you could sit Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, because Anderson's isn't he the leading receiver in the league right now in yardage?
He might be the leading receiver in the league. I don't really stay on top of that type of stat.
Actually, DeAndre Hopkins, is. He's second.
Right, exactly. So, but I know that he's up there, and I know that he's typically been the leading target getter for Carolina, but that might be shifting over the last couple of games with DJ Moore getting more work.
All right, you want to bang out some of these calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's go. Pastor Jacques, he's on line one. Jacques, what's up, buddy?
Happy AM to you, boys. Good talking to you.
Yeah, good talking to you, man.
Hey, the question is, do I start Cam Newton this week or Gardner Minshew? He's been garbage time good for me all year long.
Yeah, I don't love either quarterback this week. I've got Cam ranked ahead of Gardner Minshew. I would rather start Derek Carr, for example, ahead of both of them. Just hoping that Gardner Minshew can get some of that garbage time goodness that you're talking about. Cam looked terrible last week, and he took a hit on his arm. I don't know if that's something that played into it. He was throwing better before the hit, and now he's taking on the 49ers. And even with all the injuries that the 49ers have been taking on, they've managed to play sound defense. And I think it might be a little bit easier for them to defend the Patriots now than it would have been if they had played them last year, for example. So I'm nervous about Cam Newton, and I would rather start Minshew. Let's do that. That's the gut talking right there. We've talked about this last week, right? You got to go with the gut.
Yep. Trust it. Trust the gut.
Trust the gut.
Thank you, Jock. Let's go to line two. Let's go to David in Sterling. David, what's up? You're on with Dave Richard.
Good morning, Dave and Junks. I have Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Burrow debating on who to start there, and I'm also have Dalvin Cook and Jonathan Taylor out this week, so I'm starting Chase Edmonds. Would it be worth picking up Boston Scott?
Yes, I would rather shop Boston Scott than Chase Edmonds. And see if Gio Bernard is still sitting on your waiver wire. There's a chance he may play ahead of Joe Mixon this week in Cincinnati. And if it ends up being that Mixon is ruled out today, I would rather start Gio ahead of Boston Scott. I like Roethlisberger this week against Tennessee. I don't think the Titans' defense is really that scary at all. And certainly the chance to connect with all those receivers gives them a chance at a big fantasy day. I like him better than Ryan Tannehill this week.
When do we expect McCaffrey back?
Matt Rhule tried to be coy about it and say it could be this week, could be next week, could be the week after that. And when I hear somebody talk like that, it probably means the week after that. So it's probably not going to be for a little while longer. And it makes sense. Look at Carolina and what they're doing with Mike Davis. Why would they rush McCaffrey back when they're basically a middling team anyway? They're not going to the playoffs, so they can take their time with McCaffrey. It stinks for us in fantasy. I'm so desperate for him to come back in this 14-team analyst league that I'm in. I had him and Saquon Barkley to start the year, and now I've got neither one of them, and I've lost two straight. It's been rough. So I'm hoping he comes back. I hope he's back this week, but I can hope all I want. It's not going to happen. My guess is that week 9 at the absolute earliest he'll be back.
Wow. Okay. All right, let's go to line 3. Let's go to Steve in Manassas. Steve, you're on with Dave Richard.
Morning, fellas. I got a lot of middle-of-the-tier kind of guys. I need 2 for a PPR. Juju, Drake, DeAndre Swift, Fulgham, McKissick, and Keenan Cole.
Fulgham's got to be in there. And, gosh, you know, usually Juju's automatic, but I can't say that he is. I think Kenyon Drake might be the other one, even though he doesn't catch a lot of passes. I think in the high-scoring game between the Cardinals and the Seahawks, you're going to want players who have a good chance to score a touchdown. Drake scored 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games, but each of the past 2, and he's going to continue to get work. He's kind of shifted what his role is. He's not being used as an edge runner anymore for Arizona. He's going between the tackles more, and it's working. And that offensive line that we thought wasn't any good in Arizona, they're finding ways to move guys off the ball. Now, Snacks Harrison's back for Seattle. That could be a little bit dangerous, but I still think that Kenyon Drake is worth rolling with here.
All right, let's go to line 4. Let's go to Joe in Manassas. Joe, you're on with Dave Richard.
Good morning, Junks, Valdez, Dave. How's it going? Hey. I got a question. Hunter Henry or Austin Hooper, man? I need a good tight end this week. Let's go.
Yeah, Henry's playing Jacksonville. Case closed. And I know that Austin Hooper's going up against Cincinnati, and maybe you'd think about the case being open, but he's not really scoring touchdowns on the regular. I do like the targets that he's been getting the last few weeks, but this feels like an Odell Beckham type of week for the Browns and not necessarily one for Austin Hooper.
All right, great. Let's go to line 5. Let's go to Corey Woodbridge.
Can you sit back, Fluffy Pops? Oh, hey guys, how you doing?
Hey,
I need 2 out of the 3. I need Lindsey, James White, or Boston Scott. Who do I start?
I'm going to sit Lindsey of that group. We know that Melvin Gordon's coming back for the Broncos. The matchup against Kansas City probably means they're not going to be able to run that much anyway. Lindsey does not catch the ball out of the backfield very often. You're better off going with the other 2.
All right, it's now speed round time. No small talk allowed. 1 question only. No trade questions, no dumb questions. Dave's decision is, of course, final. Use a player's full name if he has a common last name, like Smith, Williams, Davis, or Jones. No Bluetooth, no speakerphones for Darius and Valdez.
All right, let's go line 6. Adam and Burke, speed round, go.
0.5 PPR, pick 4 out of these 5. Cooper, Robinson, McLaurin, Allen, Fulham.
Let me sit Fulgham out of that 5-some.
All right, let's go to line 1. Rob in Springfield, speed round, go.
Half point PPR, need 1 flex spot. Claypool, Mike Williams, Devin Singletary, Philip Lindsay.
Claypool.
All right, good. Let's go to line. Did we do line 3? Jeff Fairfax.
Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill.
Matt Ryan.
All right, let's go. I think line 2, John Bristow.
Morning, Junks. I need.
Let's go to line 4. Chris
no
Haymarket.
So bitter.
Speed round, go.
Keenan Allen or Terry McLaurin?
Keenan.
All right, let's go to line 5. Bo Woodbridge, speed round, go.
Matt Ryan or Joe Burrow?
Matt Ryan.
All right. Let me see. I know that Darius is taking more calls, or is that it? What do you want to do, Valdez?
Here, let's go to Mike in South Riding.
Mike, South Riding, speed round, go.
Pick 2, Mike.
Sorry, he just dropped.
Oh, okay.
John in Ohio.
John in Ohio, line 7. Speed round, go.
Half point PPR, T. Higgins, DJ Chark, Melvin Gordon, J.D. McKissick. Just need 1.
Let's go with T. Higgins.
T.
Higgins. All right. And let me see. Good. Andrew in Stafford. Speed round, go.
Rodgers or Murray?
I didn't hear the other name, but I like Rodgers quite a bit.
Rodgers or Murray?
Murray. And then
Murray.
We have 1 more, Steve in Fairfax.
All right, Steve in Fairfax.
Standard league, Darius Slayton or David Montgomery?
I think Slayton actually has a little more upside this week. Let's go with Slayton over Montgomery in a non-PPR. Wow.
There you go.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it,
buddy.
You got
it, gentlemen. Good luck in your leagues this weekend.
All right,
always, you can tweet him at Dave Richard. All right, coming up next, we'll get the skinny on EB's colonoscopy.
The skinny.
As I mentioned, Lurch was hoping something tragic would happen, or at least something that would be a pain in your butt, literally. So we'll get to that next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday. Presented by Window Nation. You're searching for new windows and doors. Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home because it's where you live. Your chance to steer the show at 800-636-1067. You call us on the AAA Always On Call listener lines. It's been a little while since we took some calls. We took them early in the program, but then we had Mike Locksley, the head coach at the University of Maryland. We just had Dave Richard on, so phone lines are back open. But we did want to hear about EB's colonoscopy experience.
All the preparation and everything.
Right.
Yeah, so let me see. Yesterday was Wednesday. I guess I had to start on Tuesday.
Yep.
And I wasn't allowed to really eat anything after 8. They did allow you, I guess, from, I don't know if Jason had the same deal, from 8 to 4 on Tuesday, I was allowed a very limited low residue diet.
Right.
And so basically the only thing on there that interested me was eggs. So I had like 3 eggs, you know, like at noon or something, and then at 3:30 I had 4 more eggs. So I just loaded up on protein. I guess I was allowed to maybe have yogurt with no, you know, no fruit or anything.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have any of that around the house. So I just like scraped off the top of some yogurt, ate a little of that, just tried to load up. And then at 6, so then at 4, you're supposed to take, at least the way my protocol was, you have to take 2 like stool softener pills, right? So gross. That didn't do anything. That didn't seem to really do anything. And then at 6, you had to start drinking 64 ounces of, I chose Gatorade. You could choose whatever. I said, I'll do Gatorade. And then you dump a 8 ounces or whatever, that Mucolax, whatever the hell
it's called. I don't know
called.
What it's called, but it's awful.
Miralax, I think.
How bad did it taste?
Actually, it didn't taste. It was tasteless.
Oh, so, mine had a bad taste.
No, what had a bad taste was that magnesium citrate stuff I had to drink in the morning. But what was gross is you just drinking 64 ounces of anything. 64 ounces of Gatorade, I guess, if you're butt thirsty and you're playing, you know, soccer or basketball or something. But when you're just sitting in the house and you have to just crush it, and I guess you're supposed to do it, I don't know, 8 ounces every 30 minutes. I wrapped it up in about 2 hours or so. But it's just, I just felt nauseous from all the drinking.
Yeah, that's the way I felt.
And then you just start going to the bathroom. And then, I mean, literally, I was just making water. That's all I did. I didn't have one. I had a normal deuce because I'm on my probiotic. You know, around noon before all the hijinks. And then once I took the material, or whatever they call it, the solution,
yeah.
I just made water for the until.
How quickly after you drink the Miralax do you start going? Is it
probably
like
about an hour?
Is it like instantaneous?
No, like an hour.
It
and
takes
I was
a while
laying
to,
down.
It takes a while to settle into the system, you know.
And I could, you know, I still have silly control, so I could sit there and wait. But when you stand up, all of a sudden it kind of moves stuff, it gets stuff going.
Yeah.
So then you're like, you know what? If I stand up, I got to go. So then you just go there and you just make soup. And, you know, it wasn't too bad. By I guess around 9 or 10 o'clock, I was pretty much done. And then I went to bed around midnight, slept for about 4 hours, had to take it again. Now, that was the worst part.
Right.
You buy a bottle of magnesium citrate, whatever that is.
6 hours before your procedure, you got to drink the other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and you drink that, and that just tastes nasty. And it's only like, I think it's only maybe 8 ounces, but it's just.
It's only 8 ounces, right, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just nasty. And so you do that, and then you sit there and you make more soup, and then you go. And then it's like, Then you just – then I was worried, like, if I still had any remnants.
Right.
So I was like, what a – you know. So then I used the bathroom there one more time and made one more bowl of soup.
You did?
At the bathroom. At the bathroom at the doctor's office.
Oh, my God.
Well, because I didn't want them going in there and then me making soup while they're in there.
That means the doctor went in there and did the procedure with a stinky butt.
No, because it was, dude, it was like broth. It was silly.
I hope those docs get paid a lot of money.
Oh, they do.
What kind of doctor does a colonoscopy? Is it a proctologist?
Gastrointestinal specialist.
ENT.
Gotcha. Yeah. So
what the hell do proctologists do then?
No, proctologist is more like urologist. I think. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you call them a proctologist. Maybe.
I think they're gastrointestinal specialists.
Gastro guys. But anyway, I was anxious about it because I was just anxious.
I can't say that.
I was clean, but yeah. There was no way I was going to go. I was going to make sure I was all ready to rock for my procedure.
You're fresh.
I was fresh. I wasn't going to go to the
Well, I was fresh too, but they offered me. They said, "Do you want to go one more time?" And I was like, might as well. I mean, I could probably make another bowl of soup. So.
What was the time frame from soup making to doctor? Like 20,
maybe,
30 minutes?
Maybe another 45 minutes to an hour.
It's still
then
fresh.
You do that, and then you got to get on the gown and everything. Yeah. And, you know, anybody that's had like a shoulder surgery or anything, you know, I've done it before. But this time they're really going to see where the sun don't shine this time. You know what I mean? And so – you're walking through it's not a hospital where I went. It was like a surgery center. And you just feel like your butt's hanging out. It's just so hurting.
It's just cold. The cold's tickling just, your butt.
You know, that open back gown that you put on anytime you have a procedure. Yeah. And you just feel hurting.
I would pay for pictures of you being
in a gown. Had to wear the little footies, the blue little footies. And then, you know, you go in there.
You just feel so exposed.
You're so exposed.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then you get down, and then they have you lay on your side, and then your cheeks are out. It's just hurting.
How many nurses were in there? About five?
You know, I don't know, because I had one nurse was a dude, really cool guy, and then he was taking all my vitals.
Yeah.
And then the woman was the anesthesiologist.
Right.
And she was trying to distract me. You know, just like
right, making jokes
about
and stuff.
Like asking me, what am I going to eat when I will say this. I dreamt about food on Tuesday night. That's all I could think
about. It was good food. Nothing I think.
How hungry were you? You were starving.
I actually wasn't quite as hungry, I think, because I drank so much. But I just wanted the texture of eating food.
Did you dream of sushi?
No, you know what? I'd had sushi on Monday night, so I didn't. You're going to laugh at me. I dreamed of a chicken souvlaki. That's what I dreamed of.
That's a very specific.
I dreamed. Well, like I usually get a
you
chicken
wanted
souvlaki.
Greek food.
I wanted
get it.
Yes.
Greek
I wanted.
Food's good.
I wanted a gyro, but I wanted chicken. It's basically the same thing as a gyro. It's just
sure.
got chicken.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's what I dreamed about. and that's what I got. You know, in the evening. But anyway, they said that I was. What did they say?
You love tzatziki sauce so much.
They said that I was like, I don't know if they called me high risk or something. Something because even though nobody in my family's had colon cancer, everybody in my family has polyps. They always get polyps.
Yeah.
So I was always nervous. I figured they'd find a dozen or so in there. So
let me guess, they found four.
Found one.
Oh, wow.
Only one. And
that's not bad at all.
They said it was pretty good size, but it looked normal. Yeah. So, you know, they don't know. They still have to do the biopsy or whatever. He said, barring something that they're unexpected, you have to come back in 3 years. If they find some hurting in the lining that looks a little – but they don't think they'll find that. But if they do, I have to go back in 6 months.
And oh, wow. So you got to go back in 3 years even after one polyp? That's not bad. I mean, I got to go back in 4 years, but I had four.
Yeah. I guess it just depends on the doctor.
Yeah, probably.
He said – I quizzed them all. He said it looked totally normal, but you just – you know, they still have to test it. Or whatever. So I figured that was about as good as I could get. You know, I will say that, you know, the lady was talking to me, and she was asking me about my kids and everything. And the next thing you know, I wake up, and it's over. You do get a silly sleep.
Yeah, you wake up.
I mean,
you count to three.
Whatever it is.
The propofol. Yeah, now you know why Michael Jackson liked it.
She didn't have me count. She was just asking me questions and trying. You know, I could tell she was trying to distract me.
Oh, yeah, and then you were out.
Yeah. But I did ask her, I said, are you going to be with me the whole time? She said, yep, I'll be right by your head whispering you sweet nothings the whole time.
Right, right, right.
I said, well, that's good.
And then you wake up in recovery and it's all done. It's over.
Yeah, and then you get to go put your clothes on.
Then you go get to eat. But
it's funny because they tell you, you know, pass gas because you're going to feel bloated. Huh. And everyone's all embarrassed.
Just gave Valdez the green light.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is his fantasy.
But I didn't really have to do that too much. I was pretty good. And so, yeah, it was good. They said
all right, so I would rate my procedure, my experience, 1 out of 10, a 0.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So from
I don't know about
prep?
You.
From the
yeah,
prep?
Everything. It was just awful for me.
For me, I anticipated awful, so I'd say it was like a 5.
Oh.
And I don't mind sitting on the toilet. I mean, you know, I just let it rip, and then I'm good. Oh, you know what the key was? I used.
Yeah, but you don't want to do it 15 times in a day.
Yeah, but I knew that was what the deal was. So, but the
well,
key,
I knew too, but I didn't want to do it.
The key was I used like this butt paste, you know, like you'd use with diapers for kids. Mm-hmm. And
it just sounds terrible.
This has me intrigued.
No, but so I didn't have any like burning or anything. I just, after every time, put some on some toilet paper and just grease the skids back there, and I was good. So you got to wash your hands very well because you're all in there. You know, when you're doing your prep, if you're going to that next level,
when you're doing your soup, is it stinky? Because if you're saying if it's this watery soup,
no, it literally looked like chicken broth. no, it wasn't. It wasn't. I don't know. You know how when you have your own and you just think it's silly.
What? No.
How is this not? It's too explicit to talk about.
You're talking about soup.
It's a medical procedure, cakes. But I was overall. Right,
whoa!
I was overall
don't just bypass that.
Yeah.
You think your soup is silly?
No, I think that sometimes you have one and they're reprehensible. Like it's.
I'd say everyone is.
No, like as a murder scene. But sometimes you have one and you think, well, that smells like roses. It smells good.
What?
Yes. Not all of mine. Not all of
None of them smell like roses.
Zero. There's zero rose soup.
No. Some of mine smell just perfectly fine.
No. What? Impossible.
Yeah. They're not. They don't have a stench.
None of them smell like Justin's.
That's impossible.
Some of them do. Some of them smell like Justin. Like Justin Rose.
No.
Some of them smell like a dead body. But I didn't think this one was particularly bad. No. I was amazed that, hey, Jason, when you made your soup,
yeah.
Was yours hurting like bean soup, or was it like mine silly chicken broth?
More like chili.
Do you know what I'm getting?
Are you describing the color?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it kind of the later it got in the process when there's no food in your system, it was more like broth.
Mine was. I think my colon is silly because I just had broth the whole time.
Oh, I don't know.
There's
no one who is infatuated with. With that process, then Mr. Bickle.
I know.
You're correct.
This was euphoric for Eric.
Well,
I mean, he likes talking about that like I like talking about fantasy football.
I don't know. There's one guy I know who likes
Stumper,
it more.
Stumper. Stumper mailed his to a buddy.
Well, remember, Eric says that duty is one of life's greatest pleasures.
Well, it is. There's the
eating,
greatest
sleeping,
pleasures
and
in life.
And pooing, yes.
No. So I wouldn't even put sleep up there.
Taxing. Shocker.
Yeah, buns.
Jason didn't.
Oh, no.
That.
I'd much rather sleep. Much rather sleep.
Eating and then pooping. Those are your top three go-tos in life. Huh?
In that order?
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing like a full evacuation. It feels silly. you don't love that?
No,
it's like primal, man.
I can't get over the fact that you think you're – your soup doesn't smell.
Sometimes it doesn't.
That's impossible.
I'm telling you, I think that probiotic makes all the difference in the world.
Everyone's human waste everywhere, all over the world, smells awful. There's no human waste that smells like
sometimes
roses.
Sometimes mine come out just nothing.
No.
Let's go to the phones. It is open line Thursday. EB survived his colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Let's go to James in Stafford on line one. James, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
Hey, Junks, Crazy Ball James from Stafford. How y'all doing?
What's up, buddy? Doing okay.
Hey, I just want to take y'all down a little trip down memory lane. I'm 55 years old. I've been with y'all since day one. I remember the old days. I met y'all at Damon's in Woodbridge. I went to some New Year's Eve party at some hotel with y'all years and years ago, and I think one or two of y'all, we had the same bookie, Bernie the Bookie, back in the day.
Sure, that was Jason.
What intrigues me most, back in the old days, we would talk about picking up women and dating and trying to set y'all up with women, and now we're talking about colonoscopies.
It's life, man. Really,
you know, time flies, brothers. Time flies.
Cycle of life. Yep. Circle of life. Cycle of life.
Both apply. Either one works.
Yeah. I know.
He had some credibility when he talked about Damon's, but never did we really talk about us picking up women because we were pretty much all locked down when we started the show.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't true. But we did a ton of events catered to women. That's for sure. And guys would come to try to hook up. There's no doubt about that.
We hooked up all our boys, Squirrel, Horsey.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
everybody except Adam.
We hooked up some of them with real psychos, too. Yeah. I won't mention any names.
That's true. I know who you're talking about, too.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about. That's hilarious.
So it's over. You probably don't have to go back for 3 years.
If I have to go back in 6 months, I'm going to be distraught.
That's going
to
suck.
I'm going to really be distraught. I can handle 3 years, I think.
So if they come back and say it's cancerous, hopefully they don't, but if they say it's cancerous, that's when you have to go back in 6 months.
I guess. Well, I don't know. Don't they say precancerous?
Yeah, they say precancerous, and I guess that means that if you didn't go and get your colonoscopy, it could turn into cancer. But
right. I don't know. I was quizzing all the nurses, and they're like, he's silly. If he says he's not worried, don't worry.
Yeah.
He said he's silly.
No, I think you're good.
I mean, I don't think they said silly, but they said
I just can't wait till Cakes does it.
Yeah.
It's JP too.
JP's got to lock that down too. You'd be better. It's good to go because then now you feel like, all right, now you got your baseline, then just listen to them all the time and you'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If they say go in 3 years, just go back in 3 years and they do their thing. It just sucks feeling all nauseous. I don't really like that.
Yes. I can't believe you gave it a 5 out of 10.
Well, I like pooping.
Man, you're a different guy, man.
That's why.
All right, got to take a break. It is Open Line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. You can give us a call at 800-636-1067. Talk about whatever you want, whether it is the Washington game against Dallas on Sunday. You got a Thursday night football game tonight. Of course, World Series now knotted up at 1 apiece. Open Lines, 800-636-1067. Remember, Jason LaConfora, NFL Insider, at 9 o'clock. Here on the Junkies.
Is Jason taking his dog for a walk?
This is awkward.
No, right? No. Where'd everybody go?
The Matt and EB show. No one's there.
There's Johnny Cakes. I don't know where. Jason, I'm guessing, is doing something with the dog. JP probably trying to corral Isabella. That would be my
probably
best
good
guess.
Guesses. Right? Both good guesses, yes.
That would be my best guess.
I'm usually back in time. I must have lost track of time there.
Right. By the way, Cakes, are you, who's playing again tonight? You got to remind me.
You have the Eagles hosting the New York Giants tonight, prime time.
And I'm assuming the Eagles are favored. Is that right?
Eagles are the home team. They've got to be favored.
It's 4.5, I think.
It's 4.5.
Yeah.
Man, I've been so bad. I got to tell you, my bets, and I bet small, right? Like $20 a game, if that. I think I'm like 4-20 or something. I mean, I'm just like really bad lately. So I need a couple winners.
You need to turn it around.
My problem is instead of just kind of loading up on one really good one, I just start betting a bunch. And then, you know, I only hit on one or two, and then all the other ones that I just add on.
Start betting some props.
I do.
I bet the props. Bet the Boston Scott props tonight. You should see a lot of
action.
I'm
not a good gambler.
I'm not a good gambler because I just saw everything is a tingle for me.
Nobody's a good gambler.
Yeah,
by the
way.
Nobody. I guess I sent this to you guys in the Hangout. John Keim just put out an article on ESPN.com. We have John Keim on the show every Monday at 7 a.m., one of the best insiders who covers the Washington football team. And his article is actually about gambling and Riverboat Ron. And, of course, it seems like days ago now, there's just a few days that we were talking all about the decision to go for two.
Right.
And he talks about what he did in Carolina, how he kind of earned that reputation as Riverboat Ron, and what he's doing here in Washington. And the numbers are actually on the side of Washington right now. So they've gone for it 10 times on fourth down. They've actually converted 8. Both numbers are tied for third most in the league. Of course, there was a lot there riding on the two-point conversion more than any of the other attempts. Kyle Allen, who, of course, was in Carolina with him, said, I understand it, and I love that he's doing it. He wanted to see what we're made of. It's aggressive mentality. And in the article, John Keim references Jordan Gross, who was a former Carolina Panthers tackle. And Gross kind of talks about it, too, that when they started doing this, when Ron took over as the head coach and they started going for it all over the all the time, it created a kind of a hunger, and that it would carry over in practice, and it had kind of this aggressive mentality carried over. Whether or not the percentages were on that side, that's at least what he's supposedly shooting for. I know that Jason and Eric didn't agree with it at the end of the game, but they're trying to establish a mentality, and Gross said that it took a couple of years really for that culture to set in.
That's fine. Here's the thing. I don't mind most of the fourth down calls, especially when you're around the middle of the field. I feel like they should be going for it. Screw it. And sometimes even if you're maybe you're backed up a little bit and it's a short yardage deal, you know, and you're down, just in its second quarter, I don't care. Go for it. But at the end of the game, I would probably have been a little bit more conservative there. There's no question I would have kicked that extra point 100 times out of 100.
Especially considering the opponent.
Yeah, it wasn't like we were playing the Chiefs.
Yeah, if you're playing the Chiefs on the road, Saints, Packers, you know, Ravens, that's one thing. But you can beat the Giants in overtime.
To me, it's like a panic move when you go for two in a situation there where you just play it standard, you still can beat this team.
Florio put out an article saying that this season, two-point conversions are at a historic rate right now.
Historic high or low?
Yeah, historic high.
Really? In terms, okay, but what is their conversion rate? Is it still around 47%?
He said the conversion rate is at, like, he said this season alone is at 50%.
Yeah.
As opposed to 94%
for the extra point.
For extra points.
And I saw a guy, Stucky, the handicapper, comes on the show on Fridays. He had an expected point value assessment of kicking the extra point versus the two-point conversion. And it was marginal, but the two-point conversion, like expected value, was a 1.01, whereas an extra point was like 0.94. So the math was on the side of going for a two-point
marginal
conversion.
Though. I'm not even sure that's statistically
it only means a lot when you have a huge sample size.
Well, he was going back to 2015. Sure. He went all the way back
That's
to 2015. So I think that's a significant size.
But the
point of this article though is about the mentality. And forget about the individual case where they went for it there. In general, he seems to be going for it, and Gross says when a new coach comes in and is doing these things, it's invigorating. Do you think that that mentality, if it continues, helps build the culture of this team in the direction that
they want? It's fine, except at the end of the game, don't turn it into a coin flip. To me, that was what he did there at the end of the game. He just turned it into a one-play coin flip.
Yeah,
and I just hated that.
I think
the other stuff I'm fine
too.
With.
JP,
I think
those
more talent.
JP, those percentages aren't equal across the board with every team. The percentages go down based on what players you have trying to achieve the 2-point conversion. They just do.
Yeah. Again,
Kyle Allen is not going to convert as many 2-point conversions as Patrick
Mahomes
is.
Or Cam Newton, who was his quarterback in Carolina. So they went for it a lot on fourth downs with Cam Newton. Well, Cam Newton could run for a lot of those first downs. I understand that. But I'm talking about the mentality. Like, I can see what Rivera is trying to do. And I agree with you. There have been inconsistencies with Rivera, but Gross talks about it, that he's developing the relationship with the players and to trust the process, and that part of this is they're going to maybe go for it a little bit more in
That's
situations
fine.
That you might not expect them to go for.
That's fine. Just don't do it at the end of the game.
Seems kind of flimsy.
Especially considering the way he treated the first few weeks, you know, where he just was ready to pack up with 10 minutes ago.
It seems like a convenient excuse or line after it failed.
I don't know.
We're trying to change the culture. Just like, going for fourth and goal from the 13 was a test.
And also he points to Derek Anderson. So Derek Anderson was longtime quarterback, for many teams, kind of a journeyman quarterback, but was in Carolina for many years. And he's just talking about how the culture changed from pre-Rivera to Rivera, and part of that culture change was this aggressive mentality of going for it and Riverboat Ron.
All right, that's fine if it works.
Right.
You know, if it works and you win some games because of it. But if you lose games because of it and you second guess it, you know, I'm not sure it's worth it. But we'll
see. I think in the middle of the field, it's pretty standard at this point, especially if you're down and you feel like you need to score some points. Going for it.
Some cowards will still punt, though. Some coaches are just so old school. Yeah. Even on short yardage, even if it's like 4th and 2 or 4th and 3, like on their own 45.
Right.
Those cowards will line up and punt the ball.
But
when they should go for it.
Time and score dictates that. If you're up by 21, there's no point.
It looked right, though. Yeah. The safe play, remember when they had the 4th and 9 and it was a running into the kicker. It then became a 4th and 4, which they then went for, which led to a touchdown on that drive. The safe play would have been decline the penalty and pin your opponent in at the 1-yard line.
But I actually thought when they called that penalty that we would then go for it. So it didn't surprise me that he did that.
It didn't surprise me based on kind of what we're talking about the aggressive nature, and I think it was the right play. But I'm saying your old-school dinosaur coaches are like, they're pinned in on the 1-yard line.
True. I liked it.
There's no guarantee you're going to pin them on the 1-yard line. It could bounce in the end zone, and the ball could come out, you know, to the 20.
Correct, but my point is
that's right. He was either going to go for it, or it was already pinned.
It was already
your choice was go for it, or it was already pinned at the 1.
Correct.
Right. I don't know. It's fine. I just know that you know, it wasn't a week ago that we were calling him Pontoon Run too.
Yes.
So you know, all of a sudden he's Mr. Aggressive. Let's see.
Yep. All right, coming up next, Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for Radio.com and CBS, joins us. We go around the NFL with Jason Lockenfora here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.